You are with Phoenix 98 FM here backstage at Latitude Festival, and I am joined by Georgia. Hello Georgia, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for wanting to speak to me, and it's a real pleasure.
You're more than welcome. Now, you are Georgia, and you don't even need a last name.
I don't need one. I have one, but I don't... I was always a big fan of just the word Georgia. You know, it's very rare that you kind of like your name, I suppose. You know, everyone sort of gets a bit embarrassed by their names, but, you know, Georgia's used... It's countries, isn't it? And also it's subject of a lot of songs in the past. So I sort of thought, you know, Georgia just seems appropriate, really.
So when did you first get into music, Georgia?
Well, I got into music since I can remember, really. I grew up in quite a musical household. My dad's in music too. And I basically just took a love for instruments at the age of... Well, since I can remember, sorry to keep saying that, but it really is true. And it's what I've always wanted to do. I remember, you know, I was still of age where Top of the Pops was still the most important thing, and I watched it religiously, and I sat there very eagerly throughout each episode and loved every single kind of band that were, or artist that was featured on it. And I think I just sort of wanted to be like them, you know. Yeah. And so I guess it stemmed from there, really. And I just began to play instruments and began to learn how to record instruments too from a young age, and then managed to kind of get to a place where I was a bit self-sufficient in a way that I could record myself onto programs like Logic, and was able to kind of produce myself in a way. And I think that's what's kind of been quite an important factor to my kind of career, is that I can I do it all myself. So it's really kind of made me able to path my own sound in a way. So I guess I was just quite a nerdy kid, really.
Well, that nerdiness has certainly been serving you well so far. And your sound is quite strongly influenced by a lot of the kind of like emerging electronica of the 80s and 90s. And you use a lot of very similar instrumentation to back then as well. So tell us about how you arrived at that kind of sound.
Sure. So my childhood, my father was in a band called Left Field, who were sort of part of the whole dance movement in the UK. So from a very early young age, I was introduced to the sounds of dance music, you know, rave, and so it's not really that much of a surprise that later on in my life I've kind of really familiarised myself with actually what makes those records great, because it's sort of in me. And I just really loved in the 80s where digital met analog, and I just think it's a really interesting period in production. And I particularly like the fact that, you know, drum machines became guitars, and you know, the SSL desk became the desk to record electronic instruments, and people were really beginning to explore the kind of realms of digital. And I love it when that kind of meets the mainstream pop music. So in the UK we had bands like Depeche Mode and you know, Human League, and all sorts of Eurythmics and all sorts of amazing synth bands. But in America you had amazing like Chicago house, so the disco was turning into electronic house music. And in Detroit you get a young group called Underground Resistance, led by Robert Hood, who basically then creates techno music, and techno travels to the Europe, house music travels to Europe, house music goes to New York, and Madonna hears it and goes, you know, right, I want to, now I know my sound, let's go for it. So I just find it a really fascinating part of music, in music. And also, you know, I'm a big Kate Bush fan as well, so I like people that push the realms of pop music to kind of new territories and new sounds. And so I really wanted to do that for these new songs of mine, and I got all the equipment, so some of the equipment. So I use outboard gear, you know. I use the computer to record in, but all the synths are all analog, and not that that makes a difference. Just for me, I just love feeling like I'm, you know, physically involved. And I used, you know, 909s and 808s and you know, SH-101s and 303s and Nords and Jupiters and Moogs and AMS delays, and the SS, all my records mixed on an SSL desk. So yeah, it was a really important element to the whole kind of making of my new music.
I think people forget just how influential that era, mainly like around the early 80s, how much it's still being felt now.
Well, of course. I mean, this was what I was kind of thinking to myself. Like, it's such an important time, because mainstream music now, you know, what's in the charts is predominantly influenced by kind of dance music. And I was like, you know, it's amazing that this one scene, that these, you know, incredible guys that were in Chicago or in in Detroit were able to kind of influence the rest of like 30 years to come. And I'm not saying that this isn't by any means, like, I love all types of music, you know. I was coming up here, we were listening to the Arctic Monkeys' first record, and it was just like, there's nothing like good rock and roll, or you know. So, and we were listening to Velvet Underground, but that, what happened in Chicago and what happened in Detroit, honestly, was like a musical revolution. It should be spoken about as important as like the Beatles, really, because they really did change the face of kind of mainstream music, really. And you know, and they're very humble when you meet a lot of the producers. Like, you know, I was playing a festival with Kevin Saunderson and people like that, and they're really humble guys. You know, they basically were looking for ways to escape their society, because in America, being in Chicago, I mean, Chicago house music was a kind of safe haven for black gay people. So it was like, you know, people were looking for ways out, and a drum machine and disco music and DJing became a way out. And I don't know, I just think it's a really important time of music that I think needs to be kind of spoken about a bit more.
And it's certainly one that that you bring to the forefront with your music. Tell us about the singles that you've got available at the moment.
Yeah, so I put out a single last year in November. It's called Started Out, and then this year I put out a single called About Work the Dance Floor, both heavily influenced by kind of that whole 80s scene I was talking about. And it's just been a real joy. Both those singles have kind of elevated me to another kind of platform, and have kind of spread around the world, and has allowed me to kind of go to all these various places and see, you know, audiences singing back my songs. And it's really like, I think an important part of it was that I started out, got me on the radio. Annie Mack heard it and she played it on her show, and since that point, it, you know, radio have seemed to have got behind me, and I can't thank Annie enough for that. But it just seems to have, you know, it's kind of like just elevated things, and I couldn't be more happier, really.
Indeed. And you're playing the Sunrise Arena here at Latitude later on, so tell us what we can expect from a Georgia live show.
I guess, you know, it's a one-woman show. I'm a drummer as well, so I got into the music scenes in London through playing the drums, being a session drummer. So I've got, and speaking about 80s, I bought an 80s Simmons kit from 1982, and so I stand up playing the drums and I sing. And it's just, I got really influenced, my good friend the Black Madonna, she's an amazing DJ, she's really influenced me, and I just wanted to create almost like a DJ show, but, you know, a live show, and a bit influenced by like Keith Flint from The Prodigy, because I wanted to be on my own up there, because I really want to work and I want to feel the audience and I want to be part of the audience and I just want everyone to have a good time. And, you know, live shows are, are about bringing people together, and that's what I hope to do from this show. So it's about dancing and feeling like you can express yourself.
Excellent. And after this, you've actually got a really big London show coming up. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I have my biggest London show today. It's at the Scala on November the 5th. And it's going to be a real exciting thing for me, because it's probably going to be, as I said, the biggest London show I've played. And I'm going to really go to town with it, and I'm going to make it like a party. So I really, really hope you can all come and just, you know, it's all about love, really. That's what I want. And, you know, when you go and see a good DJ, when you go and see a good band, you come back with the feeling of like you've been part of something special, and you've
indeed.
Been, you know, you've been, you almost feel like you've witnessed something. So that's what I want people to feel when they come and see a Georgia show.
Excellent, good stuff. Do you have other live gigs coming up as well?
Well, we play a bunch of festivals, so I've got Reading and Leeds coming up, which I'm really looking forward to. We've got Edenbridge. I play Edenbridge, Neverworld, and I think then, you can find all the dates to my shows on my social media, so that's at Georgia UK. And also, if you go to www.georgiauk.com, you'll find my tour dates there too. But please come along. I feel like it's going to be special.
Definitely. Well, have a great set tonight, and best of luck with all your upcoming shows as well. Sounds like lots going on, and I think it's got a good positive message to share as well.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be interviewed by you, and Phoenix 98 FM, you know, thank you for tuning in and listening, and as I said, at Georgia UK, you can find all the details there. So thank you very much.
Thanks for chatting to us, Georgia. Best of luck with the upcoming shows, and have a great gig tonight as well.
Thank you.